folks. Welcome to another episode of Murray Musings. We are going to preview the draw for Wimbledon. So Scott's having a little camping party. Yeah, so it was his birthday yesterday. So wish happy him birthday, a happy Scott. Belated birthday. But we've got
another Claire trip around here. The sun.
Yes. So how are you doing, Claire?
I'm good. Thank you. I was, if anyone saw my Twitter post, this is Friday evening, if anyone saw my Twitter post earlier on after the Wimbledon draw, I was in a bad place this morning when I found out that Andy is in the wrong half of the draw for the days that I have tickets for, but I'm okay now, I'm at peace with it, I'm happy to be here tonight. Chatting to Peter, very excited for Wimbledon to begin. It's the most wonderful time of the year. How are you doing, Peter?
Doing good. I had a nice lunch, had a lot of sushi, and so my belly's full. I've got a drink in hand, a non-alcoholic, but it's fine. It's just the afternoon here. But you're drinking some Prosecco, I see.
Got a little Prosecco, just a little one. Nice. So it's been a long week.
Understandable.
Yeah. Yep.
So we're recording this Friday. So the draw just came out early this morning. So let's get to it. Let's just start with Andy. So thoughts, prayers, not needed.
I mean, it could have been a lot worse. Like every name that was coming out, I was like, please don't get Andy. Or please get Andy. Please don't get Andy. Please get Andy. You know, I was kind of going.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You know, depending on what was coming out and like when they got to Diminor, I was like, please God, don't pull Andy's hat name out of the hat here. And he missed that. And I mean, actually, as draws go, it's not too bad.
And as the quarter go,
he's in quite. It's okay.
Yeah, the space is decent.
Yeah.
So he's in Medvedev and Stefano Tsitsipas's quarter, excuse me. So he is bound to play Stefanos or Dominic in the second round, but he's playing first off Ryan Peniston this Tuesday, I believe, correct?
Yes. So that's going to be, I mean, in reality, Andy, with his experience, with his skill, with his game, on paper, Andy should beat Ryan.
Yeah.
Without any problems. However, this is I'm just going to play the devil's advocate here, because this is the time of year when Ryan Peniston peaks and reminds everyone that he's a very good grass court tennis player.
Yeah.
You know, he did well. He went out in round two at Queens, but he did well in his first match. He's a good player. In saying that, I don't think he's got the tools to beat Andy.
Yeah, they've practiced a lot together, I see.
Yeah. And, you know, this is probably going to be quite an overwhelming occasion. Maybe not overwhelming, might not be the word, but it's a big occasion for Ryan Peniston. Yeah, he's played on the big stage before, but he's going to be playing Andy Murray on Andy Murray's court.
Yep.
So that's quite a big thing. And it's, you know, Andy's the veteran, Ryan's the young pup.
Yep.
But I think Andy will win that match, and he will win that match.
Yeah. I mean, he's got an overall record at Wimbledon 60-12, and then 133 match wins on grass to 32 losses. So he's one of the greatest grass court players that, you know, we've ever seen.
Yeah,
and in this era. And like in this era and in this time, we have just a few others.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also think as well, I know, you know, if we think back to Queens, and I think we should maybe, we've not done a podcast since C1 Nottingham, and we should maybe talk about that at some point as well.
Yes.
But, you know, let's, if we think back to Queens, almost 2 weeks ago now, he didn't play. He was tired. I was there, and it was, he looked tired. I was excited and fortunate enough to actually meet him on the Monday and get a picture with him, and he looked tired then. He'd been out practicing for an hour. He looked like he'd been through quite a lot, and he'd done 2 weeks back to back, done 10 matches, won 10 matches in a row. So he looked tired at Queens, and then on the Tuesday when he actually played his match against Dimonor, he just looked a bit like, it's taken its toll on me now.
Yeah.
And I'm ready to just take a break, go into training, put in some intensive training. And I mean, Dimonor was just too fast for him.
Yeah.
At Queens.
And he reached the final.
Exactly. I take some solace in that he reached it. I actually really want, and I was delighted to see Carlos Alcaraz win. But at the same time, I kind of wanted to see Dimonor win because
I kind of wanted to see the winner. Alex win. Mm-hmm. But in like the narrative and in the grand scheme of things, mm-hmm. as everyone hypes up Carlos so much, mm-hmm. I wanted to see Carlos do well.
Yeah.
I'll just say it like that, you know?
To justify the hype.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. On the grass court. First grass court title, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So, he did look tired, but
yeah,
I think that's understandable because his body had been through a lot in the past fortnight. And I think he'll have come away from Queens. He'll have rested. He'll have trained, and I think he'll be refreshed and feeling quite good going into his match against Ryan on Tuesday.
Yeah, speaking of looking fresh and good, I'm sure that you saw the interview with Tim Henman when mm-hmm. he was interviewing him with AirPods on.
Yep.
On center court, and of course Yvonne Lendl thankfully is here, you know, present physically coaching him. Mm-hmm. Andy said that it's good to have Yvonne like just in his box, like in his corner, you know, supporting him.
Yeah.
And Andy said that he's felt physically the best that he's felt since 2016, which is great to hear.
That really is quite a statement to make, isn't it?
Yeah, great to hear. Absolutely.
Unless he means towards the end of 2016 when his hip started to fall apart.
I mean, it was really 2017, right? Let's not talk about that. Because, I mean, he won the World Tour
Finals. That's true. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I agree. I think that's really quite it's quite a positive statement for him to make, to point that out. That, you know, he's, because let's face it, I mean, 2016 was, that was Andy. That was peak Andy.
Yeah.
You know, like it was peak in the fact that he peaked in his career. He peaked at everything that he did that year, pretty much.
Yeah.
So for him to say he's feeling as good physically now as he did then, that's quite a statement to make.
Yeah, definitely.
And but he does look good. Like he looked good great. In that practice, didn't he? Like he looked strong. I can stop smirking, Peter. Look at your little cheeky little smirk on your face when I say
No, good. I'm excited.
He looks strong and he looks fit.
Surprisingly, yeah. Mm-hmm. no offense, but like we can go into like who's won Wimbledon before and in the past. And to give him all due credit, like, you know, the most recent winner, you know, Novak has done okay.
Not too bad
about Andy's chance. So let's go on to the second round. He either will meet Dominic Thiem, who he has a 3-2 record against, or Stefanos, and so it's looking likely that Stefanos might take it, I think. Dominic and Stefanos have never played on
grass. Have they never played? Oh, on grass. Okay.
Yeah. He's got a 4-5 record. So Dominic has edged him out just mm-hmm. once. So, I mean, honestly, I'm sorry, but Dominic isn't at his best, you know?
No, he's not. Which
I just don't see it.
It's a shame. Like, although in saying I'd like to see Dominic win and get through to round two.
Yeah. I mean, I'd love to see it.
But I also don't want to see him playing Andy because I like Dominic's team. Like him. I don't want to dislike him, which I will do when he's playing Andy.
Yeah, I don't want to have to root against him, but I mean, of course I will.
Yeah.
But let's go on to Andy versus Stefanos. So Andy played Stefanos in Stuttgart in last year, excuse me. And it was in the quarterfinals and mm-hmm. he won that match 7-6, 6-3. So I mean he's played him before on grass. He'll beat him again.
Yeah, Andy can beat Stefanos on grass. Andy is a better grass court player than Stefanos is.
Mm-hmm.
I think he will beat Stefanos on grass.
Mm-hmm.
If it was any other surface, if it was clay, absolutely not. Stefanos would have him. If it was hard court, I'd be 50-50 based on how either of them turn out on the day. But on a grass court, when Andy's hitting those balls well, Stefanos is not going to, he's not beating him.
No.
I mean, if Nick Kyrgios can beat him, Andy Murray can beat him.
I mean, no offense to Stefanos, but again, yeah, he's not the best grass court player, mm-mm. but, you know, against Andy, one of the best, it's going to be tough.
Yeah.
A tough ask. So do you want to move on to who he might face in the third round, et cetera?
Yes.
Or,
yes.
Okay. So let's talk about it.
So it could be Ben Shelton. Well, okay, I mean, it could be Ben Shelton. I can't see Ben Shelton losing to Taro Daniel.
Yeah, I was just about to say. Maxime Cressy has a good serve.
Yeah.
And he's playing Laszlo Djere in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see Laszlo defeating Cressy.
Mm-mm.
I hate to say it. So I don't know who's going to come out of that. But I do want Ben to do well. So
yeah.
I do want a Shelton Murray matchup. I'd like that.
Mm-hmm.
Ben's a young guy, has a good serve.
Mm-hmm.
I saw him win in Cincy. He made a good run there last year. So he's a competitor. He's a fighter.
He looked not bad on grass either. At Queen's last week.
Uh-huh.
So I'm practicing. He's very tall.
Yes.
So it's, you know, he's got the good serve from that. He won his first round match against mm-hmm. JJ Wolf.
Yep.
It was 7-6, 7-6. It was quite tight, you know, they were just sort of exchanging serves for quite a long time, and it looked like it was going to be, could have gone either way, to be honest, you know, like a net call here or whatever. Second round match was against Musetti, which he lost, but he did take a set. Mm-hmm. So yeah, he's not bad, but again, I think Andy could beat him.
Yeah,
as long as Andy's body plays up properly, and he says himself his body's feeling good.
Yeah,
and if he's taking 2 weeks off just to kind of recuperate and train and rehab, gets to the third round against Shelton, I think we'd be looking at him getting into the fourth round.
Yeah.
I need him to make it to the second week.
He's going to make it to the second week. I was just looking up, and honestly, I apologize, I forgot that Ben went to the quarterfinals at the Australian Open.
Yeah.
And he lost to Tommy Paul, which was a good match. Honestly, forgot about that. But I don't see him beating Andy. So I don't even think that's, you know, the optimism in me. I think that's just plain facts.
Yeah.
He's just not suited on grass yet.
Yeah, well, I think, and I wouldn't even go so far to say he's not suited on grass yet, but he's not got the experience on grass yet.
Experience, yes. More so what I meant.
He's a young kid. He'll have played, obviously, he's college tennis, isn't he? Ben Shelton, coming from the kind of college leagues, hasn't he? So it's like, assuming that's, I don't watch a lot of college tennis myself, but I presume it's not a lot of grass.
No.
So he's not got the experience that Andy Murray's got on grass.
Yeah.
He probably at this stage of his career doesn't understand the nuances of a grass court and how it changes, how the surface changes as a tournament goes on, and how you have to adjust your game for that.
Mm-hmm.
Andy will beat him.
Yeah.
If they meet.
What I'm looking forward to is a possible match with Cam Norrie.
Would that be round four?
I am, yes. I am a part of Norrie Nation. I mean, it's a small but cute group chat. I mean,
is that a bit like Cam, mighty. Small but cute?
Yes.
He's not very small. He's quite tall.
No. But I mean, you know, of course I back all the Brits, but against Cam, I'm sorry, but Andy's going to win that match. I don't know if Korda is going to go through to the third round against Cam. Go past the third round, excuse me. You knew what I meant. I don't see Yuri Vesely beating Korda. Christopher Eubanks, he is just through to the finals right now, literally just a few hours ago.
So you think Cam will beat Korda?
Yeah.
I don't know. Korda played pretty well at Queens.
Yeah.
He played pretty well.
Uh-huh.
He could beat Cam. I think he could beat Cam. And I would be more worried about Korda playing Andy than Cam playing Andy. You know how I feel about Korda and his stupid headband?
Uh-huh.
Against Andy.
Yeah, I mean, when Chris Eubank saved 5 match points against Lloyd Harris to get to the final, I think, and I hope, it's more hope that Chris will play Cam. I'm not going to say who might win from that match, but whoever wins from that match, who might play Korda, gets beat by Andy.
Yeah.
It's getting tougher and tougher to foresee who's going to win. Because, I mean, so many people are getting to be good on grass.
Yeah. I saw a thing earlier on, actually, someone posted it, like, the projected route to the final for Andy. And I just need to see if I can find it again.
Okay.
Sorry, folks. Here it is. Right, okay. So Andy Murray's Wimbledon draw, round one, Penison. Seats the past team for round two. Shelter Cressy. We've established, I think it's going to be Cressy. Round 4, Norrie or Corda. Okay, let's say it's going to be Cam.
Uh-huh.
Quarter final. Daniil Medvedev or Tommy Paul.
Uh-huh.
The most likely ones. Now he's beaten Tommy Paul. He beat Tommy Paul on clay. I think if he can beat Tommy Paul on clay, he can beat Tommy Paul on grass.
And do you not foresee Medvedev winning?
Oh, well,
of course he couldn't play last year.
Yeah, if he plays Tommy Paul.
He's got a 10-5 record at Wimbledon. So I want Tommy Paul to win that match if he's playing against Medvedev.
Yeah. He probably won't, but Tommy Paul would be my preference.
Okay.
Because he beat Tommy Paul. Tommy Paul's a very good clay court player.
Yeah.
So if he can beat Tommy Paul on his better surface, he can beat Tommy Paul on his better surface.
Uh-huh.
Medvedev, I'm not so sure about. I think Medvedev would just be so, like, flippy and floppy and hard for Andy to read that Andy would end up getting really frustrated and just like,
oh, on here. No. I think you might be right. Yeah, I think you might be right. I don't know. I don't see Medvedev beating Tommy, but
do you know?
Maybe that's just me just wanting, like you're saying, the matchup.
Maybe Daniil gets beaten by the British wildcard Arthur Ferry in round 1.
Yes. Huh? When I saw that, I was like, oh hell. Like, honestly, the matchups for the Brits this year, especially on the women's side, has been what the hell?
Yeah.
What the hell?
You can say what the fuck. It's mental. Yeah.
It's annoying.
Okay, right. Okay, so are we going to punt on Tommy Paul?
Are we going to just not talk about it? Or are we just going to say, like, let's go to the next round?
Yeah, let's go to the semifinals. Once he's beaten Tommy Paul, or once he's beaten Daniil Medvedev, he makes it through to the semifinals, which I am going to. I'm going to the men's semifinals. So Andy, therefore, has to make it to the semifinals. Uh-huh. And he could play either Alcaraz or Rune. So that could be interesting.
He just played Holger at Hurlingham, correct?
Yeah. It wasn't great.
You want to talk about that?
Yeah, I suppose we could a little bit. Actually, I'd forgotten that happened.
Yes.
I forgot that happened. It wasn't great.
No.
But in saying that, it wasn't great, but he only lost 6-4, 6-4.
Okay, yeah. 6-4, you know, 6-4, like, 4.
Yeah, it was only one break serve in each set.
This is true, yeah.
So, you know, in the grand scheme of things.
And he had so many chances.
Yeah. In the grand scheme of things, I think that Andy didn't play great, but still managed to only get broken once in each set. So I think that's maybe, you know, let's kind of look at the positives from it. And also, this Andy Murray has now proven himself over best of 5. Like, without a shadow of a doubt, best of 5 is where Andy can really come into his own.
Yeah.
Because he's a goddamn warrior.
Mm-hmm.
And if that match at Hurlingham had been best of 5, it might have been different.
True. He had so many chances to break.
Yeah, he did. It was frustrating.
He just needs one or two.
Yeah.
In the first...
I think the key with someone sets, like the key with someone like Holger is get the break early.
Yeah.
get it early and then just hold yourself like your life depends on it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, much easier said than done, and it's very easy for me to say sitting here as an armchair fan. But that, you know, that would be my professional coaching advice. Get break early. just go
that's
out there and break them.
A good,
just go out there and break them.
Tactic and advice for anyone. Just get break your opponent.
Just win.
So
just
it'll
win.
Be a whole lot easier. And then just serve your heart out.
Yeah. Just ace. And then just
I
win.
I mean, you would be a really good coach, Claire.
I know. Tough love. Just get out there and win. I don't want you coming back to me if you lose. Just go and win.
Uh-huh. Tough love.
Yeah.
So I mean, there's TFO in the top half. There's Alex, like we were saying, in the top half. But I don't see anyone beating Alcaraz. I mean, Francis won Stuttgart, which was incredible. Yep. He's in the top 10 now.
Mm-hmm.
I wish that Francis would be a title contender. But against Carlos, I don't see it. Do you?
No.
Like at all?
No. Could they play each other 30%? Could they play each other in the quarterfinals?
I believe that's what it looks like, yes.
Yeah. I can't see it. I think, actually, after Queens, Carlos is... There's still a long way to go. Don't get me wrong. He's very young and there's a long way to go. But he does seem to be proving himself as quite a well-rounded player.
Yep.
You know, like he almost lost that first round match in Queens.
Mm-hmm.
He almost lost it and he battled back, and then after that it was pretty plain sailing for him.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I can't see Tiafoe beating him.
Yeah.
No.
I would
no
give
way.
Him a 30% chance and that's it.
Could Carlos meet he who shall not be named in the fourth round?
In the fourth round, yes.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. That's as far as he gets to go. No further.
Yep.
This is your stop. Please vacate immediately.
Yep.
Yeah, that's good. Because I was looking at the list. I see his name. And I'm getting nervous. Like, how far could he go? No, that's good. Carlos is going to be the savior. Okay.
Yeah, but it's either Matteo Berrettini, you know, 2021's Wimbledon finalist.
I can't believe Matteo's not even seeded now.
Yeah. He's not doing great at the moment. Or Alex could beat Zverev is who we're talking about. But I don't think that he'll get past Carlos. He won't. I'm manifesting it.
Is Berrettini's playing Lorenzo Sonego, isn't he, in round one?
Yep.
He could lose that match.
Yeah.
Sonego could beat him.
Sonego. Yep. He's played well this year.
Yeah. Do you know what jumped out at me when I was looking at the draw? There's no, for me anyway, there's no real blockbuster first round matches for me.
Yeah, I think you're right. On the men's side, there aren't.
Yeah.
I mean, if you consider Sonego and Berrettini, there's, if you want to go down further or just talk about first rounds, it's Jannik Sinner versus Sarandolo.
Yeah. That could be a good
there's one. There's Kecmanovic versus Schwartzman, and Diego's had a little, thankfully, a little renaissance of play lately.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you're right. I mean, Hanfman, excuse me, Jannik, He's playing against Taylor Fritz. And that's really, I mean, kind of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, there's, who else? Sorry, I'm looking at the...
Stan Wawrinka versus Emil Rusevori could be good.
Say that again, I'm sorry?
Stan Wawrinka versus Emil Rusevori.
Oh, yeah, that could be good.
Yeah.
That could be five sets.
Yeah.
And then Luka Van Esch versus Aslan Karatsev. And whoever wins that match will play Rublev or Max Purcell. I believe Rublev will win that. But
I think the second round matches, like the potential second round matches, look more exciting.
Oh, yeah. All of them look pretty good. Pretty yeah. good.
I really hope Liam Brody does well.
Uh-huh. I've never seen his opponent play, Constant Lestien.
Yeah.
Apologies of the pronunciation. I'm sure I'm getting it wrong. He's a Frenchman, so I don't expect him to beat Liam. I don't even think that's, you know, the optimism. I just think that Liam's doing pretty well lately on the grass. So it's going to be tough for him, hopefully. But I mean, yes, there is a little optimism, but he is doing well on the grass. I'm, you know, just gonna call it out, facing facts. It's just,
and also we might be a little bit biased.
I mean, yes, we are a little biased. He is a Brit, but again, he's won a doubles grass court title
with Johnny O'Mara.
Johnny's now in Andy's camp, so I mean, that's another bonus for him as well. So I just don't foresee Liam getting beat in the first round.
No.
And he made it
to the third round last year, remember, after that spectacular match against Diego Schwartzman. So
I remember that match, and I hated rooting against Diego, but it had to happen. He could play Casper in the second round. So there's that.
Yeah.
But I mean, I have not seen Casper practice.
He's been golfing.
He's been golfing. He hasn't played a grass court match tune-up, has he?
Yeah.
But he practiced on clay, but that was more so for the kids that were on his little tournament that he hosted for the juniors back up in Norway. He's just been at the weekend concerts, I believe, twice now, and he's just not ready for Wimbledon.
Yeah.
He knows it. We know it. So Liam has a chance.
Yeah.
Right?
Go for it, Liam. Yeah. Take him. I mean, that could be like the biggest win of Liam's career.
Yeah.
Like it would be the biggest win of Liam's career. So yeah, why not? Eh? But can we go back to Andy for a second? Let's just dial back.
Of course.
Talk about the dream. Let's just do the dream run, you know, the dream scenario. And he gets through these semifinals. He beats Alcaraz in the semifinals.
Okay.
And he could play Djokovic, Ruud / Liam Brody, Sinner or Rublev in the final.
Uh-huh. Are we not placing any bets on last year's finalists, Nick Kyrgios?
Absolutely not.
Exactly. I mean, he's playing Goffin in the first round, and I think Goffin can take him.
He could. I don't think he will.
Okay. I tried.
He definitely could.
A few tournaments before, so I didn't know physically how he's doing. I think that's more so.
Well, that's it. I suppose it does depend. Yeah, it does depend on how he is feeling physically, I mean, if he's feeling good and he's feeling like he's ready to play, he will win that match.
Yeah.
But he's not going deep. He's not making it to the final again. He's not defending all those points.
No. I mean, there weren't points, but he's not
defending all finals. Those imaginary points.
Exactly. Yeah.
I forgot that as well.
Yeah.
Jeez, oh, okay. Yeah, so anyway, so in the final, yeah, I mean, it could be Djokovic, Sinner, Rublev, Brody.
Shapovalov. Sorry, I should not have done that. I should not. That's wrong. He's gotten to the quarterfinals, right?
Was it the quarterfinals or the semis? No, he got to the semifinals.
He lost to...
Was it Berrettini that you lost to?
Yep.
Or was it Djokovic you lost to? He got to the semifinals because I saw that match.
Didn't he win a set off of Djokovic? I'm sorry. I blocked out a lot of matches. I said on Twitter, that's my toxic trait, which I mean, could be, you know, in my, I guess, in my defense, I think it's a good kind of characteristic to have to forget about bad losses, but I just forget that match. So I do not know.
Right, hold on. It was
about to say.
Let me see, hold on, because so he played Djokovic in the semi-finals.
Uh-huh.
And no, he didn't take a set against him, but it was very, very close. It was 7-6, 7-5, 7-5.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
I was just about to say, I remember that. I was like, come on, Dennis, come on. You're right.
Yeah, and he beat Andy, remember? In the third round.
I didn't want to mention that, but yes.
Yeah, and pretty convincingly as well. 6-4, 6-2, 6-2.
That's why I was like, if you're going to do that, like...
Still not over that. Oh my God, I'm just... Because I'm actually just now, I'm sort of like scrolling through nostalgically Wimbledon 2021 men's single scores while I was trying to figure out what match, like who Chapo had actually played in the semi-finals. And a name that's just popped up is Roger Federer. I forgot Roger was still there in 2021.
Claire.
not because Roger's forgettable, but just because like that seems like forever ago.
Yeah.
It seems like a really, really long time ago. And that was, I mean, that was his last match at Wimbledon. That still makes me really sad, right? Like, I genuinely, like, I cry a little bit.
Against Hurkacz,
and he got bageled in his very last set in his last match at Wimbledon, and that actually breaks my heart a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Roger. Oh, God. Oh, that's so sad.
Yeah.
I'm laughing because if I don't laugh, listeners, I will cry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I get that. So, who's going to the semifinals in the bottom half?
You want to ask me about a half that Andy's not in? What? Novak Djokovic.
Uh-huh.
Rublev.
Oh, Rublev's in...
Djokovic's quarter.
Djokovic's...
Yeah.
Yeah, quarter.
Sinner and... I mean, well, right, so here's the thing. See if... I think it'll be Sinner, right, from that from that quarter. See if Ruud was to get knocked out early.
Uh-huh.
It opens the rest of that bit up.
For Liam?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really does. I'm looking at it now, and... If Liam was to take out... Casper Ruud in round two.
Mm-hmm.
He could meet Shapovalov would it be the third round or the fourth round?
I'm sorry, one second. Yeah. What is that? The third round?
Yeah. I don't. If Ruud was to get knocked out early, that would be quite a wild quarter.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a very, very open quarter, because you've got Koric, Batista Agut, Shapovalov. We're all going to hell in a handcart anyway. Liam Brody, let's do it.
To the semis?
Yeah, go on, Liam.
Okay.
Maybe the quarters. Yeah, no. Let's do it.
I mean, at least he will get to the quarterfinals. I was just looking at Shapo's. Two tournaments before Wimbledon, and he played Stuttgart. I completely forgot that, of course, I was rooting against him. As he played Martin Fucsovics, he lost in three sets. So, I mean, Dennis hasn't been playing well.
No.
So, yeah, I just don't see him getting to the quarterfinals, excuse me, in that section. Not with everyone else there.
Yeah, I would agree. I'm just going to leave that. Okay, so who do we think Andy's beating in the final then? Who's it going to be? Who's it going to beat in the final?
Who do I want Andy to beat in the final?
Yeah.
I mean, after 10 years' time from, you know, 2013, Andy will beat Novak.
Wouldn't that be poetic?
That would be the best narrative. But the thing is, I've heard Andy say so many times that he wants a really good run at a major. And it sounded like, and he will retire after that. But in the past few weeks or so, he's talked to reporters saying that he's going to play like at least two more years, right?
Yeah, he talked to Jackie. But
even if he makes the finals and can win it against Novak, because he's done it before, he's the only man to beat Novak at center court in the finals. He better not retire after this. But he can beat him because he's done it before. So I didn't want to say that out loud. But
you did.
I mean, since you baited me to be like,
we're in okay, a safe space here.
Beating.
We're in a safe space.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, to go on the record and say, yeah, he's getting to the final and then he's beating Shmovac Djokovic.
Shmovac Djokovic.
Yeah.
According to Andy Roddick.
Yeah. I'm nervous, but I think I'm the most hopeful that I've been in a while for Wimbledon. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, Andy said that he's feeling great, so why not his fans feel great about his chances?
Yeah, I agree. I absolutely 100% agree. I mean, and if anyone has to be mega positive, it has to be us down here at Money Musings HQ.
Yeah.
So, okay. So Andy's winning.
Yep.
That's okay. That's we've spent a good 45 minutes talking about that.
That's settled.
That's the men's side of the draw, folks. Andy's winning.
Yep.
We probably could have summed that up in 5 minutes, but you know what we're like. We do like to ramble.
I mean, but we went through the draw a little bit, which is, I guess, the purpose of this. So, yeah, and that's fine.
Yep.
So let's move on to the ladies, and Iga's probably winning it, right?
No.
Rybakina?
I think Rybakina's going to defend her title.
Okay. Let's talk about it.
So I've done my bracket. I've not done my bracket yet for the men's, but I have done it for the women's. And yeah, I think Rybakina is going to win. I do have Iga going all the way to the final.
Okay.
And playing Elena, and I think Elena will win. Somehow I ended up, this was my semi-final. These are my four semi-final picks for the women. Somehow I ended up here. I'm not quite sure how, but I'm rolling with it. Iga versus Sloane Stephens.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But you know, I love Sloane. So I'm going to back Sloane to the death. And, okay.
And Rybakina, I'm fine with that.
Rybakina versus Sabalenka in the semifinals.
Okay.
And I think Rybakina's going to defend her title. I mean, okay. Let's not forget that Iga was knocked out in the fourth round last year by Caroline Garcia.
Yes.
So it could happen again.
Yeah.
I think I've got Sloane Stephens beating Garcia this year, because I don't think Garcia's been playing as well as she was last year, even although she's the fifth seed.
Okay.
I want Sloane to get a good run. I really want Sloane to have a good run at a major.
So I believe, if I'm looking at this correctly, Sloane is 23 wins to 18 losses in her career.
That's all right. That's five That's more wins than loses than losses.
Yeah.
She's going to bump that number up by like six.
The round of 32? I mean... Birmingham quarterfinals, excuse me. She's gotten to the quarterfinals before in 2013.
She's going to stay further.
Her forehand was great. Mm-hmm. I mean, go ahead.
Why not?
Go ahead,
why
girl. Why not? No, okay.
Why not? In for a penny, in for a pound.
Yeah.
I think that Harriet Dart will beat Diane Parry in round one.
Okay. Yeah, I see that.
I'm having a look at the Brits here. I don't think Katie Swan is going to win against Belinda Bencic.
No, I don't see that either.
That's a really tough first round match for Katie.
Yeah.
So I hate to say it, but I can't see it happening. I do think that Jodie Burridge could beat Katie McNally.
Oh yeah.
I'm squizzing through the Brits quickly.
Okay, that's fine.
Who else did I have? Heather Watson's losing round one, which is a real shame. Who's Heather playing? I did have her down to lose. No, because that's a really tough first round match for Heather. Barbora Krejcikova.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so harsh. So unfortunately,
That's why I said this draw.
I can't
burn it
see.
Down. I just don't like it.
Can't see Heather winning it. I think Madison Keys will beat Sonny Cartel.
Yes.
As well.
Yep.
I think that Katie Bolter will beat Daria Saville.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
Daria's coming back from injury, right?
Yep. And you know, Katie, she's won her first WTA title now. Okay, she went out in round one at Eastbourne, but
she won Nottingham against Jody.
Yep. She won Nottingham, lost in the first round at Eastbourne, but she's had a bit of time to recover now. I think she might come in and win that match, go through to the second round. So that's my Brit picks. You win some, you lose some. You can't have it all.
Did we cover all of the Brits already?
I think so. Is that it? Yeah.
Ooh.
I think so.
Yeah, Katie and then Cartel. Heather is not,
Yeah, it's such a shame. Especially after our run last year. You know, that run to the fourth round last year, that was like the fairy tale run for her. And she bloody draws Krejcikova in round one this year. It's just, it sucks. It really sucks.
Yeah.
the match that I am probably most looking forward to on the women's side in round one is Venus Williams versus Elena Svitolina.
Looking forward to, I think, is for me, it's a stretch of like the words. I'm just
Venus is winning it.
Venus is winning it. I wish both of them went to the quarterfinals at least.
Yeah.
Because I love Elena. But I hate it. I hate it, to be honest with you.
I mean, I do too. But I am also looking forward to it because it's Venus Williams.
Yeah.
You know, she's 43 years old. Mm-hmm. She's still out there. She's still doing her thing. And she's still an absolute goddess on the court.
Mm-hmm. And I was just watching her YouTube video about just all the little outfits that she was packing.
Love her.
And they're beautiful.
Yep.
So, I mean, she's got her own clothing line, just like Andy.
Yep.
I just saw a picture of Andy just stretching as Venus was on the other side, stretching mm-hmm. too, I believe. And yep. So I love Venus.
Imagine Andy.
He got me into
tennis. He's already said it won't happen, right? So this is just me daydreaming. Imagine they played mixed doubles together.
Yeah.
Andy and Venus. He was asked about it uh-huh. recently, and he said, no, I'm only playing singles.
Yep.
But a girl can dream, Peter. A girl can dream.
I mean, yes. Yes, we can dream.
I think Venus will beat Elena, which is a shame for Elena, but I would, if you were forcing me to pick who I'll be cheating for, out of the two of them, it'll be Venus.
Yeah, of course. But it just sucks for me.
Yeah, it does. Any other big matches for you for the women in round one? Any particular ones that you're really looking forward to?
In the first round, there's Trevisan versus Sarah Sariba's Tormo.
That'll be a good one.
I mean, I'm going to like. I mean, other than that, I'm not looking forward to Katie versus Belinda Bencic.
No.
I'm not looking forward. Well, no, I take that back. Jody is going to beat Katie mm-hmm. McNally. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I mean, Coco is going to play Sophia Kennan, and Coco's going to beat her. What else? Sloan plays Rebecca Peterson in the first round, and Sloan's going to beat her. Is she going to the finals? I don't see it. I think Garcia is getting through to the quarterfinals at least.
Okay. Oh,
fourth round, quarterfinals? Yeah. There's another person that I'm not going to mention that could give her a tough match. Anyway, Ons versus Magdalena Fresh, I think is going to be a good one. I would hope Ons gets to the quarterfinals.
I've got Ons going to the quarterfinals.
Excuse me, I'm so sorry. I take that back. I hope that she gets to the fourth round and plays Petra. And whoever wins that, I hope they go to the semis or...
Ooh.
Yeah, or better. Yeah, ooh. I'm sorry, but I want Petra to win another Wimbledon
ooh.
Title.
So I've got Ons versus Petra
uh-huh.
in round 16. I've got Ons beating her.
Okay.
Going to the quarters and then losing to Rybakina.
Yeah. I see it.
Yeah. It's the women's, I would say the women's is infinitely tougher as they get into the, you know, the rounds of 16 quarterfinals yeah, than the men's is to pick. Because it's, I think it's a lot closer with the women. You know, there's so many good players right now.
Mm-hmm. other than that, on the bottom half, I just don't see first and second rounds that I'm really jumping out of my seat for. What do you think about Ostapenko's chances?
I think I've got Ostapenko going to the fourth round.
Okay.
Losing to Rybakina.
Okay.
And
I'm fine with that.
I was a bit like, could, because actually, Ostapenko could beat Rybakina.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's got the skill set. She's got the game. But it's whether or not she can keep up with her.
Yeah. Ostapenko won Birmingham against Krejcikova.
Yeah. But I just feel like Elena's quite a flawless player.
Yeah.
You know, she's really calm under pressure, and she's the kind of player that if Ostapenko's doing her, like, just causing disruption and being up, she'd be totally unfazed by
chaos,
it.
Agent of chaos, you mean?
Yes, that is exactly. Agent of chaos is the perfect description. Yeah. I can't see Rybakina even being fazed by that in the slightest.
Yeah.
She's so collected and calm.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Either Petra or Rybakina from the bottom half playing Iga or no, playing Iga or Sloane. Like, if we want to throw that in there.
Yeah.
I mean, I just don't see it, but I don't mind that suggestion.
I mean, I am slightly delusional, but I'm just going to roll with it.
She's not the best grass court player. So,
but she's
like I said, what, 23 to 18?
Mm-hmm.
All-time career, like, yeah, I just don't see it. But Sloane can win the French Open. She's won the US Open before.
Yeah,
she can do it again. I just don't know about her form the past few years, aside from, of course, the French Open final. I just don't see it. And I don't think that's pessimism. I think that's just the reality.
Mm-hmm. Okay, fair enough. Who do you think is going to win?
I mean, again, I want Petra to win a title. Do I think she's going to make it past Ons? Yes.
Ooh.
I think I would say 60-40 heart than head, but I think she can do it. I don't know. I just see it. Is she going to make it past Rybakina? I don't know. But I just would love to see it.
Okay. I still think Rybakina's going to win, but I would be happy to be wrong.
Uh-huh.
For Petra to win overall. And only if it's Petra. Or maybe Ons. I would happily see Ons win. I really, actually really want Ons to get a title.
Yeah.
Like a slam.
Really, I'd like it at the US Open.
Yeah.
I could see that.
I mean, anyone can win the US Open.
I mean, Bianca
me and you could enter mixed doubles,
US
Peter.
Open.
We could win the US Open.
I'm kidding. I should not have said that out loud, but I did.
Okay. So you're going to go with heart says Petra?
Heart says Petra. Head's empty. Head, like, I just don't have enough to go on.
Yeah.
Because to be honest with you, I've I haven't seen a lot of grass court matches this year.
Yeah.
Other than a lot of the Brits. I just haven't seen Iga play, to be honest with you. I don't know. I think I'll just say this. I want someone other than Rybakina to win.
Okay.
I like Katie from the Mean Girls to like break the crown and just give it out to like others. Just share the wealth. I just don't see a problem with a lot of major titles like just being given out, not freely, but like given out, spread amongst the peoples. I just don't mind seeing Ons win a title. I do want Petra to win another title, and that's a lot of me that wants that.
Okay.
In the Breakpoint documentary on Netflix, Aryna Sabalenka said that she wanted to win another major before 25. And she promised her dad that. And she's 24 now.
Oh, I thought you meant before 2025.
Oh, no. Excuse me. Yes.
Before she turns 25. Okay.
So, yeah, she's 24 years old now. So, does she have the ability to win on grass the championships? Yeah. Does she have the ability to beat Rybakina? I don't know. I don't see it. But, oh, yeah. I see Petra winning. I just see it. And that's, I think, more me manifesting it. But I think Iga can win it. I think 4 or 5 people can win it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a fair analysis.
Yeah.
Yeah. My head says Rybakina.
Okay, yeah.
My heart would like Jabeur to win.
Yeah.
But yeah, head says Rybakina. And for the main, heart says Andy, head says, don't be stupid, Claire, Andy.
Don't say it. Yep. Andy and Andy all the way.
Yep.
100%.
So I think that's us.
Yeah.
So we've done our little Wimbledon preview. It's less chaotic than the French Open one, which,
oh yes,
incredibly doesn't feel like that long ago.
No. Because it's really not.
No.
It's not.
But you know, since then Andy won 2 titles.
Mm-hmm.
Which was nice. Were we just talking for a wee minute about how cute it was in Nottingham when he was doing a speech and Kim and the kids showed up?
Mm-hmm.
How cute, yep, was that? His and reaction. Oh my, yeah, God.
He was like, oh, you're God, here. On so Father's cute. Day.
So cute.
But also that Teddy was saying rubbish. After every shot that Andy missed, which is amazing.
Heavy Prince, I mean, Louis vibes.
Yes. Yes.
Massive, massive Prince Louis energy. I can just imagine him being like, oh, Daddy, you suck.
But I mean, that's the energy that Andy, I'm sure, gives at home too.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
Yeah. Like if Sophia hits the ball in the net, Andy's like, that's rubbish, mate.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, that was really cute. So we were delighted to see that. We were delighted to see Andy win his title, to back up his win in Surbiton, to win again in Nottingham. It was, mm-hmm, quite a joyful 2 weeks, yeah, for us, wasn't it?
Yeah, we needed those titles. We really, yep, needed those.
Yeah. And then I loved seeing him at Queen's, not necessarily when he was on court.
Yeah.
But I did enjoy seeing him practice. Saw Ivan there as well. Didn't get to smooth things over with Ivan. Never had the opportunity. I think he was avoiding me.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. But did get to speak to Andy and get a really nice picture with him. So that was good. And Queen's overall was like, the Monday was fun, but I've now seen Andy lose twice at Queen's. Therefore, that's it for me. I've not come back.
To like Queens.
To watch him play at Queens. I'm not doing it again because I've now seen him lose twice. So I won't be going next year. But the Monday, if you've never been to Queens and you're toying with the idea, a grounds pass on the Monday is amazing because there's not many matches get played on the Monday. There's like three matches in centre court and maybe three on court one, which is an outdoor court. You don't need a ticket for that. It's just your grounds pass. And maybe one doubles match gets played on another one of the courts. But it's mostly just practice. And the players are just milling around. And it's a really easy way to meet some of your favourite players.
Yeah.
Because hardly any of them have got security with them. Like the only ones that really had like people kind of like crowding security around them to try and like hustle them into the members lounge was Andy, but they set up a sort of barrier for him. Like he was coming out of, so Andy practices on court 7 at Queen's, which is the one that's sort of furthest away from where the crowds can stand. It's kind of in the corner, so
okay,
no one can be like leaning into the practice court to watch. It's the furthest away one, but it's closest to the tunnel which you walk through to get from one side of centre court to the other. And they cut through there to go back into the members' lounge.
Is that where you got the picture?
Yeah.
Okay, it looked like it was kind of indoors.
So there's 5 doors that lead onto that court along this wall. And they could come out of any one of them, but usually it's the door that's lowest down, furthest down, that's closest to the members' lounge entrance, like it's just literally right across the tunnel, or it's the door at the very top where they can go another way to get into the members' lounge. So I left. I'm trying to think who was playing. Whose match were we watching? Might have been Diego was playing. So I left that match after half an hour. I was like, I'm going to watch Andy play. I saw on the schedule what time he was due to play, so that I'm going to go early so that I can actually get in because the crowd builds up and it's like one in, one out sort of thing. They make you queue up outside and then you can walk down and then it's a one-way system for getting round. So I made sure I was there early, so I got in, standing about for like half an hour waiting for him to come out. And then he came out and then one of the Queen's like security supervisors came down and was like, everyone that's standing here will have to leave now because there's people queuing up to get in and it's not really fair on them to be standing queue and we have to keep things moving. So one woman went, but we've been waiting here for half an hour for Andy to come out. And now that he's out, you're telling us to move. And she's like, yeah. So this woman went, no. She went, no, I'm sorry, we're not moving. This woman really, like, she was amazing. She totally stood her ground. She went, no. She went, we'll move in 10 minutes. We'll leave in 10 minutes, but we've waited for him to come out. You can't tell us to move on as soon as he comes out. She went, if I'd known you were going to do that, I would have just went and stood up at the top of the queue. I wouldn't have walked in. And the girl was like, well, I'll need to phone my supervisor. And the woman went, that's fine. She went, I'll say the same thing to her. I'm not leaving for at least 10 minutes. I want to watch Andy practice.
I love it.
So I was like, oh, 10 out of 10 for the assertiveness. 10 out of 10.
Yes.
So anyway, they never came back. So we got a good 10 minutes watching them. And then I was like, right, 10 minutes is enough to watch him. Now I'm going to go round so that I'm at the door for him coming out when he finishes his practice so I can try and get a picture. So I was waiting there for like a good 40 minutes, but I don't care. I was like, I will wait until the end of time if I have to. So this security guard kind of stuck his head out and he's like, you waiting for Andy? It's like, yeah. So at this point, there was only me and 2 other women.
Oh, okay.
The crowds hadn't started to build up at this point. He says, are you just waiting for Andy? And we're like, yeah. He says, right, but he says, he's coming out this door. He says, but even with him, we have to put these barriers up so that he doesn't get, even because otherwise he'll be completely mobbed. said, so we put the barriers up and he will come to the barriers. Anyone that's behind the barriers, he'll sign pictures, take photographs. So I'm going to put these up now. Like, get yourselves right to the front. So it pays to make friends with the security at these events. So he put the barriers up. He's like, right, get your... So we've got our prime positions. And then I heard this little voice going, excuse me, is this where Andy's coming out? And I looked down, there's this really cute little girl.
Aww.
With our tennis ball. And I was like, do you want to stand in front of me? I can't have the same situation happening where I block a child again, you know, like I did to my own daughter at Battle of the Brits. So I was like, you come stand in front of me so you make sure that he gets that you get your ball signed. Come on, and you get
it's good karma.
Yeah, exactly. And her mum was like, thank you so much. I was like, no, I've got a kid the same age and I didn't do the same for her. So like I'm gonna make sure that. So he came out and I kind of like shunted the wee girl forward straight away and she lifted her arms up the ball and so he went to her straight away and signed the ball. And she was like, ah, my goodness, I'm so excited. And after he signed the ball, he kind of looked at me and I was like, well, she's not mine. Can I get a picture? They're going to get a picture. So got a really nice picture with him. And then like he signed as many autographs and took as many pictures as he could. But eventually like security were like, no, he has to get back inside now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yes, but it was really good because like other than that, the only other player that had that kind of level of security around him was Alcaraz.
Yeah.
You know, they just were not letting you near Alcaraz at all. Everyone else was just sort of mooching around and it was really cool. And like, I'll tell you one of the most, and you'll agree with this because you've spoken to him as well, one of the nicest, most down-to-earth players is Liam Brody.
Yeah.
Like, without a doubt, you know, like as soon as I saw him, he was walking towards us and I went, oh, I said, I had Hanya and Jethro were with me and I was like, oh, there's Liam. And he obviously heard me say his name and he was like, oh, hi, and chatting away. And he's like the player, he puts down all his bags and he puts his arm around you and stands next to you. He's just like a really, really nice guy and he chats away. And it's not, you know, it's not just a picture. You're getting with him, like he'll talk to you as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think Hanya's a little bit in love with him now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
I was like, get on the Liam Brody train. That's welcome. Welcome aboard. Uh-huh. We all love Liam. So then we went down to watch, bumped into Liam's coach, Dave, who's friend of the pod. I had a quick chat with him. Obviously, he was following Liam down to his practice. So we kind of did like a little walk around and we met Cam Norrie as well. And if you ever wanted to find players to get photographs with, Hanya's your girl because she sees a crowd and she just runs towards it. She doesn't know who's there. She just sees
Hanya has done well.
Oh my gosh,
getting selfies.
Someone commented on my Twitter post with my selfies that I was the LaWanda of Queens, but really Hanya is the LaWanda of British tournaments. You know, like she's everywhere. So Hanya was, she just saw this crowd of people and she bombed it down. And we realised as like Jeff and I got closer, it was Cam Norrie. So I've gone up to stand beside her and Cam was literally a foot from us. And Hanya turned around to me and she went, oh my God, it's Cameron Norrie. And I was like, I know. He's right there.
That's amazing.
I think he heard you. So he was really nice as well. Loads of really nice players. Great place to meet them. And then we had a little walk back around and Liam was practicing. So we sat down and watched Liam's practice and he was looking really good on the grass. And Dave Samuel came over for a chat and he was asking after Murray Musings podcast. Asking how it's getting on. So yeah, it's just like a really nice, it's a nice kind of laid back tournament in that aspect. Being able to go around and meet the players. It's kind of different on centre court.
Mm-hmm.
It's I mean, it's a very expensive tournament to go to. The yes. cheapest centre court tickets are £55, and I was in the literal back row. That was the cheapest ticket, and I was in I was actually getting vertigo at one point. I was in the very, very back row of the entire stadium. It was so high up, and it was so windy that even although it was a warm day, it was cold at the top, and I had to go buy a jumper because I was so cold, sitting in the nosebleed seats watching Andy lose. I mean, to add insult to injury, I had to pay £50 for a Queen's branded jumper because I was so cold sitting in the top row watching Andy lose tennis. So, you know, it wasn't a great experience in Centre Court, but the rest of it was amazing.
Yeah, so you've been to Queen's and you don't need to go again. You'll just get a Wimbledon.
Been there, done that. And now I'm off to Wimbledon. Off to Wimbledon on Sunday.
Nice. I'm very so excited for you.
Very excited. Very excited. So I have tickets for Monday. And unfortunately, Andy isn't playing on Monday. I don't know how much I'll utilise the Centre Court tickets. I'm not... Depends who's playing. I might not be, like, totally thrilled. But I think that, like, the show court matches are going to be a bit more exciting.
Yep.
But the good thing about having tickets, just having them, is not having to queue up.
Yeah.
On the opening day, which I don't really fancy doing. I will queue on Tuesday so that I can at least watch Andy play from the hill. Might take a wee day off on Wednesday. And just before we came on the podcast earlier on, I, by some miracle, managed to secure myself tickets for Centre Court for Thursday for round two. So, Andy, if you're listening, you better be Ryan and get to round two.
Yeah, he will.
I need to see you play at Wimbledon, just even just one time. I need to see it happen. And on that note, I think we'll wrap it up.
Yep, sounds good.
We have rambled a little bit towards the end here, but just because we like to have a little
chat. We're Merry Musings. We muse.
That's how we do it.
Just so meander.
If you've made it this far and listened to me wax lyrical about Queens, well done. You probably deserve a drink now. Thank you very much for tuning in, as always. Drop us a mention on Twitter with your thoughts about who you think is going to win Wimbledon. Do you think we are completely delusional? Of course we are. We are delusional. But do you think we're completely out of our minds to say that Andy's going all the way this year? Let us know what you think and have a look out on Sunday, maybe Saturday, for our last woman standing competition. I still haven't figured out what the prize is going to be yet, guys, so just bear with me on that one. That might be a cheeky little surprise in the end. But we will be doing our last woman standing competition this time, and it's going to be on the women's side in case the name didn't give away. So, on that note, it's Wimbledon time. He's been Peter. I've been Claire. Thank you for listening to Murray Musings Wimbledon Special. Over and out. Bye, guys.
Thanks for listening. Bye, y'all.